Praise God. Yes, thank you for coming. Yes, eschatology kept simple. Glory be to God. Okay. Eschatology kept simple. Eschatology is basically, it is a fancy word for the study of the end times. Amen. So, yeah, as we end there, I think God wanted us to end it with a study of the end times, okay? We shall have like 3 or 4 Bible studies on this topic, and this is the first one. Glory be to God. Let's open Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. End times in the words of Jesus. Okay. What Jesus said in Matthew 24 is recorded also in Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21. All right. We're going to read Matthew 24 from verse 1. We shall get until somewhere. But as we read, I might add a few things from Mark and Luke. Eh? Okay. So Matthew 24 from verse 1. It says that, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Luke adds and says that they came to show him how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and donations. Verse 2, and Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, the disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? All right? When will these things be? Eh? As in, when will the temple be destroyed? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Okay? So there will be wars. Okay? But other things will just be what? Rumors. Not wars. Rumors. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay? For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And Luke adds, and there will be fearful signs, sights, and great signs from heaven. Verse 8, all these things are the beginnings of sorrows. All right? So Jesus is saying that wars, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, then fearful sights and great signs in heaven. Okay, he says all these are the beginning of what? Sorrows. Okay? They are not the real thing. Okay? Lydia, aren't you, don't these things scare you? By the way, do you know what pestilences are? Pestilences are like disease on a wide scale, like an epidemic, you understand, Okay? So, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. And then he says, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. They are not the real thing. All right? Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation. All right? And kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Okay? Mark adds and says, brother will betray brother to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. Verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Okay? So things are going to be bad. All right? And by the mere fact that Jesus is talking about enduring to the end in order to be saved, it means that some people will fall away. All right? Some people will fall away. They will depart from the faith and lose their salvation. Okay? We pray that that won't be us. Eh? Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. All right? Verse 15, okay, but let me start with what Luke says, which is related to verse 15 of Matthew 24. Luke says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. Okay? And that is kind of, it's related to verse 15 of Matthew, which says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, okay, Mark adds and says, the elect's sake whom God chose, those days will be shortened. Glory be to God. Okay, things are going to be bad. Alright? Let's go back to verse 15, because that is a passage that we're going to use, that we're going to study from today. It says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not to, that is according to Mark, in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, then let those who are in Judea flee. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to he to get his clothes. Okay? And then it goes on, and then verse 21 says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. Glory be to God. Okay? So, like the major sign that the end has come or is just at the door, Jesus said, when you see, in Luke it says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then it says, if you are in Jerusalem at that time, take off. Alright? Then Matthew says, basically, that it is not only actually with Jerusalem being in trouble, but when you see in the temple, which is in Jerusalem, you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then take off. Okay, so what we're going to do today, we're going to go to Daniel and read that portion that Jesus is talking about. All right? Now, that is in Daniel chapter 9, from verse 23 to 27. It's a short one. All right, but there's a lot in there that we need to know, and for those who know, it's important that we remind ourselves of these things, especially since I hope if you've been in LAT, you are now convinced that what the coming of the Lord is at hand. Yeah, I had a dream in 2014. Yeah, 2014 it was. Rachel didn't want to hear that dream. But it's, in this dream, I met some guy who told me the number of years we have left before the Lord returns. Okay? Then I asked him, hey, you say this number of years? He says, don't quote me exactly, X number of years. He said, it is around that what? Figure. Okay. Then I shared that dream with a certain gentleman. All right. And my wife, of course. My wife didn't seem to be convinced. Even me, by the way, I wasn't. What? Sure. Then, in the week, okay, after I shared it with this gentleman, in that week, he called me to tell me a dream the daughter had had after my dream. In this girl's dream, she says that she was taken to heaven, okay? And angels were showing her mansions, people's mansions. Then she requested that she may see her mansion. Then the angels told her that, no, you're very young. Okay? You're very young. You haven't done anything. There's no mansion for you here yet. Okay? Then they told her, go back. Okay? Go back to the earth. Okay? For X number of years. Now, the number of years they told her. Okay? were the same number of years I had been told a few days earlier. So they told this girl, go back, all right, to the earth, okay? And after those number of years have elapsed, okay, you'll come back and your mansion will be ready. That is if you go back and do good things. So in the dream, she comes back to the earth, okay? And then, in the same dream, there was fast forward. Alright? There was fast forward and those number of years elapsed. Okay? When they elapsed, in the dream she went back to heaven. And she found the mansion was what? Complete. And the dream ended. Glory be to God. Alright? Now, what a coincidence. Okay, in the week I just dreamt being told the number of years left before the Lord returns. Okay? A few days later, a young girl dreams angels telling her the same number of years. Okay? So, were we being deceived? I don't know. Okay? Probably not, especially when you see the signs that are what taking place in the world. So that was 2014. Now it is 2018. So it is X minus 4. Isn't that good news? You guys, I don't know what you want in this one, in this miserable world. For me, if someone told me just come back tomorrow, I would be the most excited. I wouldn't even sleep. I was like, man, finally, all this nonsense is coming to an end. Okay? Bridget, we have read from Matthew chapter 1, Matthew 24, from verse 1 to what? Lydia, up to verse what? Up to verse 15. Yeah. And Jesus says that when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, then know that things are bad. Take off. Alright? So now we're going to Daniel chapter 9. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. So, I've told you, if you believe me, you don't have to believe me, but things are happening. It's very close. And that's why one of the things God would want, especially preachers, to do is to start taking his coming back seriously, to proclaim it. You understand? To get the church ready. Okay, because some people are just playing around, you know, and there's this thing of once saved, always saved, as long as you accept it, you're going to heaven. But the scriptures do, like we did in the last 3 weeks, the scriptures don't say that. Alright? So, getting ready, getting the children of God ready entails not only telling them that, you know, the coming is soon, but also we're telling them to live right and to do what they're supposed to do for the purpose of rewards. So, Daniel chapter 9, verse 23 to 27. Verse 23 begins and says, now, Daniel was praying. You remember? He's in captivity. You remember? Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians. Why? Because of sin. And the Jews were driven away into exile. Okay? But God had told Jeremiah that they are going to be in captivity for 70 years. So Daniel is among those who are in captivity. Then he reads Jeremiah and he realizes that, wait a minute, the 70 years what? Have elapsed. So he's praying about that issue of the 70 years. Then Gabriel, okay, angel Gabriel appeared to him. Okay, and he told him, verse 23, he tells him that at the beginning of your supplications, prayers, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people. Okay? Who are Daniel's people? The Israelites, the Jews. Okay, 70 weeks are determined for your people. Okay, now, 70 weeks here means 70 times 7 years, which is basically 490 years. You can go back and what? Research about it. Eh? Okay? But we're here to keep things what? Simple. Okay? So, he's telling him 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, which is a holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Okay? What does that sound like? Eh? To bring in everlasting righteousness. That sounds like, you know, the Lord coming back and reigning on the earth. Eh? Okay? In righteousness. And you see, it is termed as everlasting righteousness. To seal up vision and prophecy. Okay? Basically, for all the prophetic words to be fulfilled. Okay? And to anoint the most holy place. Okay? Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. Okay? So now, he's giving us the point from which to start counting the 70 times 7 years, which are basically 490 years. All right? So he tells him, you remember he's in captivity. He tells him, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build with Jerusalem, until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Okay? Alright? From the command, from the going forth of the command to restore and build with Jerusalem. Okay? Until the Messiah, the Prince, okay? There will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, I will tell you, but you can go and find out whether I'm telling you the truth. The command to restore and build Jerusalem happened when Nehemiah, remember the building of the year, Nehemiah was given permission by the king at that time to go and build the wall. Okay? That's when the counting started. Now, it says that until the Messiah, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Basically, 69 weeks, isn't it? 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Those are 69 weeks. Times seven is what? Okay, 69, you remember it's supposed to be 70 weeks in total? Which is 490 years. Okay. But now these are 69 weeks. So just subtract 490 minus 7. 483. Musao, do you get it? All right. So now, what happened is from the command, okay, from when the king gave Nehemiah the permission to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, okay, until Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday now, okay, it was exactly 483 years. Remember when Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, and people, whatever, palm leaves and clothes, and they sang, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Okay? It was exactly 483 years. Okay? Alright? And Zechariah had, there was a prophecy that was fulfilled at that time. Okay? Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." All right? Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 from verse 1. He says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you'll find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here.' So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, 'What are you doing, loosing the colt?' And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it." Okay? "And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Alright? Now, when you read in Luke, it looks like this is the first time Jesus actually allowed, okay, like people to publicly declare him as king. Prior to that, he was always, when he would heal guys, he would tell them, "Don't tell anyone." But on this day, okay, on this day, remember the Pharisees even came and told him, "Tell the people to stop calling you this." Then he told them, you know, if they stop, the stones will do it. It was on this day, the first time, where he now allowed it. Exactly 483 years. Okay? Remember, the prophets had said, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince," okay? Messiah the Prince is Jesus. "And on that day," okay? Alright? He publicly, allowed to be, proclaimed as king. Hosanna means save us, you know, Okay? "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Blessed is the what? The kingdom of David. You are basically proclaiming him as king. When I read this, by the way, I remembered last year, remember? When Elvis went to Angola, okay? And gave whatever the palm leaves, man. You saw those pics, Okay? Then a few days later, he comes back at Entebbe, and people clothes, I heard that it was even done this year also. That's what I was told, clothes, and you know, okay? Doing exactly what these guys did. And I tell people that all those things, okay, they have a starting point. They began, they were not there before. Remember, it was first the kissing of the shoes, that event. Then a few weeks later, he goes to Angola. That happens. He comes back, you know, all those things have something had happened a few weeks before that. That's when all these things erupted. You understand? So it was like around maybe June, something had happened. But all of a sudden, okay, these things happened and they still what? Happen. Anyway. But that's not the point. Okay? So you see, 483 years. Okay? So now that part of the prophecy was fulfilled. Okay? He says, you know, anyway, it is what? Fulfilled. Then he says, let's continue to read. The streets shall be built again. Nehemiah, remember? He did that. And the wall, even in troublesome times. Remember, they gave him headache. The guys who, you know, who are in the land. Okay, they gave him headache. So that's what it means, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, okay, after the 62 weeks, so the temple, the reason why it first says that 7 weeks and then 62 weeks, because the 7 weeks are dealing with the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the wall, okay, and thereafter there will be another 62 weeks until the Lord comes. Alright, so it says after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. Okay? Jesus was killed a few days after what? Palm Sunday. You see, after guys have blown for him, wow, 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 and then they killed him a few days later. That's why human beings are very what? Interesting. A few days later, okay? Just like Gabriel had told who? Daniel, okay? Messiah was cut off, but not for himself, okay? It was for us and for the Jews. Then he says, and the people of the princes to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Alright? Now, Jesus died around 32 AD, okay, 32 AD, and in 70 AD, okay, the temple, okay, the city and the temple, the sanctuary, were destroyed. Okay? Did you study that in your history? Okay? You only did European history. But if you did divinity, most probably it should have been there. Okay, in 70 AD, okay, this prophecy was fulfilled. Alright? The city was destroyed and the sanctuary. Then he says, the end of it shall be with a flood, like an army, until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Okay? Alright? So it was bad. The man, when you read about it, in history, man, it was bad. Guys were killed. Okay? And finally, in 70 AD, the temple was... Now, apparently, remember, Jesus had told guys, okay? We read it in Matthew. He had told them that when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, okay? Take off. So, apparently, people say that actually very few, if any, okay, of the Christians were killed actually. Because for them, when they saw that, they took off. They took off. Okay? They took off, and these other Jews who had rejected the Lord are the ones who were killed. Alright? Now, so you see all those things have been what? Fulfilled, eh? Alright? Now, verse 27. Then he, okay? Remember, in verse 26, we read about the prince who is to come, eh? Eh? The prince who is to come, who shall destroy the city, and he did, eh? Verse 27, it says, then he shall confirm, eh? Okay? Other version says, he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. Okay? Remember, Gabriel told Daniel that 70 weeks are determined for your people. Alright? Now, we saw 69 weeks are gone. Eh? There was the building of Jerusalem, okay, and the Messiah coming and being cut off, okay? It says 7 weeks and 62 weeks, they're all gone. Now, there was 1 week remaining, 1 week, which is 7 years, all right, remaining, and we have never seen it fulfilled, okay? In that 1 week, he says, then he, the prince was to come, okay? I'll tell you very quickly, this is the Antichrist, okay, the Antichrist, all right? So now this is where people say, because remember it is the Romans who destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, all right, in 70 AD, all right? Now, here it says, then the prince, okay, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Now, that is future. That one has never been fulfilled. So, this is where people think that the Antichrist is going to come from the Roman Empire. Because it is the Romans who destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. All right? And here it says that he, the prince who did that, you know, okay? It's like the same. So, it is Roman Empire. You know, Now, whether it's coming from Rome, Italy, that is another thing, but that is Roman Empire. All right? So he says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. So that means this 1 week is coming. Okay? And in that 1 week, the Antichrist is going to make a covenant, you know, which most people say, he's going to come and establish peace in the Middle East. All right? Peace in the Middle East. There has never been peace in the Middle East. Okay? But he's coming to do that. Okay? Now. Okay, let's read on. And say, but in the middle of the week. Remember, a week is how many years? 7. He says, in the middle of the week. Okay? In the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Okay? If he brings an end to sacrifice and offering in Jerusalem, that means a time is coming when sacrifices and offerings are going to resume in Jerusalem. Okay? So that at a certain point, the Antichrist will put an end to them. Isn't it? Alright? Now, if you've been following the news, you've heard about the red heifer. When you read the Old Testament, okay, before temple worship, before the priest could start ministering in the temple, okay, they had to first be cleansed by the blood of a red heifer. Okay, a heifer without spot. Okay? Now, there's an organization in Israel called the Temple Institute. What these guys have been doing for years, okay? They are working to reestablish, first of all, to rebuild the temple. Number two, to resume sacrifices and offerings in the temple. Okay? They have already prepared the utensils to use. They have them. Okay? All those things, they have them. Okay? Now, they needed also a red heifer. So that when the temple is there, before they can begin to sacrifice to God, okay? They have to first be cleansed by a red heifer, according to the Bible, But they didn't have it. And, according to the laws of Israel, they're not supposed to import live animals. So what they did, they imported embryos. All right? Anyway, a few months ago, they got a red heifer. It was on the news all over the place, the red heifer. Glory be to God. Okay? Here it says that the Antichrist will put an end to sacrifice and offering. Alright? So that means that at a certain time, sacrifices and offerings have to resume. Alright? Now, there are guys in Israel, but they're not Christians. For them, they don't believe in Jesus. According to them, the Messiah hasn't yet come. You understand? He hasn't yet come. Those you Christians, you're liars, you're doing idolatry. You're calling a man God. Huh? You think when you meet a Jew and you tell him, oh wow, a Jew, what, Father Abraham, they'll be impressed. Some of them are not impressed. They just look at your stupidity. Eh? Okay? And there's history that Christians kill Jews. So they're not amused. When they find you praying, you think, wow, they are not amused. So for them, they're like, for us, we're resuming our thing. Okay? So they want to rebuild the temple to resume, you know, worship with animal sacrifices. Glory be to God. However, where they're going to build the temple, that place right now is not under their jurisdiction. The Temple Mount, eh? It is the Muslims who have it. Okay? But these guys believe that one day we shall have it. Okay? And maybe that's where the Antichrist will come in, eh? When he comes to make a covenant for 1 week. Alright? Okay? So, now, and then, first of all, their thing is, in order to rebuild the temple and to offer those sacrifices, the Jews have to be in Israel. Isn't it? And where are they now? They are back in Israel. Okay? This is why people say that the rebirth of Israel as a nation in 1948, up to this day, it is like the greatest sign that we are close. We can say, but 1948, now it has been 70 years. Say, really? All right? 70 years. Eh? But now, look at what is happening now. How things are being accelerated. Eh? Okay? This thing, the deal of the century, that Trump is talking about. Okay? Remember, he's working on a peace plan for the Middle East. Okay? Kind of similar to what the Antichrist is what? Going to do. Okay? The moment Trump came into power, that is one of the first things, he began with a peace plan. They have it. Meanwhile, Macron and the European Union say that they also have their what? Peace plan. So you can see things are being accelerated. So I don't think, however much Trump tries, he's not going to what? His thing won't work. Because he's not the one who is supposed to do it. Do you understand? But you can see now we have gotten to that point. The European Union say we also have ours. So you can see now we are getting to this point. We are getting closer to the beginning of the 1 week. You see, because now it is the main thing now to get what? Peace into the Middle East. You understand? That is the main thing now. Already, Israel is back in the land. Alright? And now there's a prophecy which says there's a 1 week coming, okay, where a covenant shall be made. Alright? And now of peace, of course. And now this is what most of these world leaders are working on. Glory be to God. Okay? By the way, I've been calculating these years. Based on the dream, remember that dream I had when some guy told me the approximate number of years we have left? Okay? Let's assume there were 30. But let me tell you the truth, there were less than 30. Okay, but let's use a figure 30. Okay, 30. All right? So 30, that was what? 2014. So now we've done 4 years. That comes to 26 years. Okay? 20 what? 26 years. Now, this 1 week is 7 years. Eh? So subtract 26 from 7. You come to 19. Okay? When is 19 years from now? That is 2037. Okay? And I've told you it wasn't 30 years. It was less than 30 years. So for me, when I see this Trump thing, the peace plans, man, I just see what? This thing is going to happen soon. You know, eh? Then after those 7 years, then the Lord comes back. But in the middle of those 7 years, okay, the Antichrist will show them or the world his true colors. Okay, because here it says that, what was it? It says, verse 27, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing, that means that on the pinnacle of abominations, shall be one who makes desolate. Now, that is what Jesus said, which we read in Matthew, okay, that he will go and basically sit, you know, in the holy place. Paul actually, he will say that he will go and sit in the temple and declare himself God. Okay? In the middle of the week. So that means that the temple has to be there. Okay? And there are guys who are working on the temple. Glory be to God. But that will happen in the middle of the what? Of the week. The 3.5 years. And by the way, that is when the real great tribulation is going to start. Remember, Jesus said that all the other things, famines, pestilences, wars, rumors of war, earthquakes, he said that those are just the beginning of sorrows. They're not the real thing. The real thing happens in the last week, starting from the midpoint. That's when the real music starts. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, I've told you what Jesus said is, you know, Israel is back. Isn't it? Israel is back. Now, what we're waiting for is the 1 week. Remember the other 69 weeks, We are fulfilled, And Gabriel told Daniel that 490 years are determined for your people. Okay? And we have seen from Daniel 20 to 26 that the 69 weeks were fulfilled. Alright? But there was 1 week remaining, and this is a week Daniel is talking about now, when the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with many. Okay, then in the middle of the week, he will go and sit in the temple and declare himself to be God. That is what it means by the abomination that causes E. Okay? But it's around the corner. Okay? I've told you, the red heifer thing is there. Okay? The red heifer, guys have the utensils to use. Okay? They have them. Okay? We are very close. Very, very close. You can see the madness. Okay? That is in the world right now. We are, man, for me, I am, you know, you just say for me, okay, you call me a man, but for me, I'm a woman. So I can use ladies' what? Bathrooms. That madness, you understand? There are countries, I think even the US has begun, when a child is born, there is no gender on the birth what? Certificate, male or female, it's not there. The child will decide what sex they want to be. This is a bad, you understand? Okay? Marriage, a man and a man, a woman and a woman. Okay, but the key thing here, we're talking about Israel. All right? Israel is back. You say, but 70 years, we thought, okay, maybe 1948, you would think maybe the world was going to end like in 1960. All right? But to God, 70 years are not what? And anyway, just, okay, if you say maybe there were 100 years, 70 have gone. Isn't it? Whichever figure you had in mind, okay, but 70 are off. All right? And I'm telling you, what, it is not 30 years remaining for the Lord to return. Glory be to God. The reason why I'm emphasizing this point is after I had prepared the session for today, I got by which I could tell that God was telling me to emphasize, okay, those three things. Israel is back in the land, okay? People are working on rebuilding the temple, all right? And the guys are basically ready. Okay? Everything is in place. Okay? The things which the Antichrist is going to mess up. Glory be to God. Amen? And then, you hear Trump. This is what I was saying on Sunday. Okay? I was using that term, the deal of the century. That peace plan that Trump is working on, that is what he calls it, the deal of the century. Alright? That's what he refers to it in those words. The deal of the century, getting peace in the Middle East. The plan here he has, he has talked to the Jews, he has talked to the to all the parties, Palestinians, and he calls it the deal of the century. I've just read that he wants to release it next year. Okay? But I'm very sure it's not going to work. You understand? But you can see, it's like now that is the in thing. So, everyone is going to start to be what? Working on that. Macron actually was telling Trump that you show us your plan. Because those have their thing. You understand? Say that they want to copy. Anyway, and from the things Macron has been saying since he came into power, most guys think this guy might be the what? The Antichrist. Okay? Some other guys said, look, even his name, Emmanuel, God with us. Okay? And the thing the guy has been saying, of recent, people say this guy, man, might be the one to proclaim himself as God. And remember, France was part of the Roman Empire. Okay? Because we say there, the prince, or the people to come, we shall destroy the temple, and the temple was destroyed by Romans, okay? And from those people, he says that one shall come who will make a covenant with many for 1 week. Okay? So people believe this guy is coming from the Roman Empire. Which country in particular? Okay? But the key thing right now is guys are working on a peace plan. Go and present it to Israel, the Palestinians, Hamas, the Arabs, okay? Then they say, yeah. Then they make a covenant. Peace. Okay? Then after 3.5 years, he will show them his what? True color. Not only them, even what? All those who will be what? Thinking that, this is a good guy. Glory be to God. The time, we are close, Lydia. Isn't that wonderful? You should be excited, man. Jesus comes back. Okay? We have a lot of time. Maybe I should continue to things I wanted to touch next week. Okay? Okay, let's now continue. I thought this that I've shared was going to take a long time, but I'm surprised. I've finished it real quick. All right. Now, okay, let's jump to verse 29, Matthew chapter 24. If you've been in LAT for 3 months, you know that verse. Verse 29 to 31. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Okay, immediately after what? The tribulation of those days. Okay? Remember, Jesus said in verse 15, that when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, okay, so that is the Antichrist standing in the holy place, okay, declaring himself to be God. Then he tells guys, take off. Okay, then in verse 21 it says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world. Okay? So when does the great tribulation start? After the guy gets in the temple, declares himself to be God. According to Daniel, that happens in the middle of the 7 years. Isn't it? All right? The tribulation starts when? In the middle of the 7, okay? Now, verse 29, verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. So that is after the 3.5 years. Okay? It says, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will shake. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great glory. Okay? All right? What does it say next? And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Glory be to God. Okay, after the what? Tribulation. Okay, then the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in heaven. Okay, you remember? The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light. Okay, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Okay, then there will be a sound. Then the angels will go forth to gather his elect. Now, that is the rapture. Immediately after what? The tribulation. After the 3.5 years of great suffering. Christians are still here. Christians are taken out after the tribulation, you know, when Jesus appears in heaven. Okay? And the angels go forth and what? Gather the elect. Okay? Out. Because there's gonna come some more music thereafter, which you're not supposed to experience. Okay? Which the Bible calls the wrath of God. And the Bible says, you are not appointed unto wrath. So you have to be taken out at that point. Okay? And we shall see maybe next week, you know, what exactly will happen. Now, some people say that no, Matthew 24, Jesus was talking about the Jews, not Christians, not the church. The church will have been raptured at the beginning of the 7 years, the moment the Antichrist makes a peace plan. Okay, then we're out. Okay? So this thing of why the tribulation going through it, the elect, those are Jews. Remember, he was speaking to the Jews. All right? But let's read again what it says in Matthew 29. And then I'm going to show you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, okay? That those are the same words, okay? That Paul wrote to the non-Jews, the Thessalonians, who were Gentiles, who had gotten saved. Do you understand? So that means that Jesus was what? Was speaking to all his elect that will be around, whether Jews or Gentiles who believe in him. Okay? So you see, Matthew 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then what will happen? Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels, okay? You see? Okay? They are angels, with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather his what? Elect. You've seen it? Okay? Angels, sound, trumpet, gathering. The elect. 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, just to show you that, because this is what guys say, and that's why many years ago I believed in the pre-tribulation rapture, because they were telling me all these things are for the Jews. For us Christians, we will not be here. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13. Paul says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no what? Sorrow. Okay? Christians, we shouldn't sorrow as non-Christians. When a Christian dies and have gone to heaven, he shouldn't sorrow, you know? Sometimes some of you, mutswaza. But you sorrow in your way, okay? If you wanna cry the whole year, tell everybody on Facebook, okay? Then he says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, okay, until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Remember, Matthew, Jesus said, the sign of the Son of Man will appear. Okay? Isn't this what Paul is saying? Okay? With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Isn't that what Jesus said? So, the argument that thing refers to the Jews doesn't hold water, because here Paul is writing the same thing to Gentiles, to the church. And Jesus said that's, you know, he's the sign of him coming, alright? And the angels gathering the elect, he said that it happens immediately after the tribulation. Glory be to God. And Paul is saying that is also going to happen to the church, the Christians. But here, he doesn't say when. But he says the same. I realized, man, if you want to understand Paul, first understand Jesus. There is nowhere in the Bible that Paul contradicted the Lord. Nowhere. Okay? So you see now Paul, when he talked about people being gathered out, the church, the Christians, he said exactly what Jesus said. Okay? But when people want to now to start twist things, they say, no, Dan was for Jews. Do you understand? For us a Christian, we shall not be here. But Paul said the same thing to the Thessalonians, who were Gentiles, who had accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Okay? And Jesus said that that will happen immediately after the tribulation. Isn't it? So is the church here during the tribulation? Yes. Have what? The what? And now, the rapture. Now, there are people who say that the rapture will happen, what? In the middle. Okay? But again, just with this argument, it didn't make sense. It's not true, rather. Because Jesus said after the tribulation, okay, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then there will be a trumpet, what a shout, and then the angels will gather the elect. You understand? And Paul is saying exactly that. Okay? That the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air, okay, to meet the Lord. You understand? Isn't that so? Where is the middle thing there? It's not there. Bridget, do you see it? It is the tribulation. We are here. Okay? Alright? So it says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Okay? And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Glory be to God. Okay? But in Revelations, again, when he talks about the same time and the rapture, he tells you that thereafter, okay, people who will be on the earth are now going to experience the wrath of God. That is one of the reasons why you have to be taken out. Okay? And it is during that time that you're out, you're in heaven, okay? That is when the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place. Glory be to God. Okay? Alright? The marriage, you know? The church, the bride of Christ. Okay? Teddy, are you learning something? I acknowledge that I'm not very well eloquent, and I don't know how to follow order, like line by A. I agree that. Okay, but at least you go with the scriptures and you look at them and what? These things are what? Are real. Okay? Let's read another scripture. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I thought I would share this next week, but somehow the time was abundant. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, from verse 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. But I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Okay? This is what Paul said in Thessalonians, that there will be those who remain, those who haven't yet died. Okay? He says that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Okay? And Paul said that we shall be, that the dead in Christ they will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the air. Remember? Okay? And this is exactly what he says. At the last what? A trumpet. The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive, we shall be changed. Now, at the last what? Trumpet. Okay? This is when we are changed into glorified bodies, okay, to meet the Lord in the air, at the last what? trumpet. And remember, Jesus also, we talked about a trumpet, eh? Isn't it? No contradiction, eh? Okay? Now, which is the last trumpet, eh? Okay? We did this one Sunday. We talked about this once, some months ago. In Revelations, In Revelations, remember they are there, the seven seals, Then the seven trumpets, and the seven vials, or bowls, which are full of what? The wrath of God. Okay? Now, in our Revelations, I didn't plan to talk about this thing today, but let's get them. In Revelations, let's read Revelation chapter 7. Are you there, Lydia? What does verse 9 say? Okay. Let's read it. After these things, I looked and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Okay? Clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. I'll tell you quickly, these are the people who have been raptured at the end of the tribulation. Okay? They're in heaven now. You see, they're from all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne. Okay, saying salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I say to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of where? The great tribulation. Glory be to God. Okay, from all, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. All right? Chapter 8, verse 1. Okay? Revelation 8, verse 1. What does it say? When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about an hour. Then I saw seven angels who stand before God. And to them was given seven trumpets. Alright? Remember Paul talked about the last one? Trumpet, eh? Okay, so here in Revelations, the angels are given how many trumpets? Seven. Okay? Seven trumpets. Alright. Now let's go to chapter 11. Okay. Because in chapter 11, from verse 15 to 18, we are going to see the seventh trumpet. 11. From verse 15 it says, Then the seventh angel sounded. Okay? Remember there were seven angels with seven trumpets, each with a trumpet. Now the seventh angel is sounding the seventh trumpet. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give you thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, Because you have taken your great power and reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Who are those dead? Remember? The dead in Christ. Eh? Okay? Remember? At the last trumpet, okay, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Okay? Now, these are the dead John is talking about here. Eh? Okay? The nations were angry and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. Okay? The dead in Christ. Eh? Okay? Have been raised incorruptible. Okay? They meet the Lord in the air together with us who are alive and remain at that time. Okay? And judgments. Judgment not to be sent to hell, eh? But rewards. Glory be to God. Okay? Rewards, because it continues and says, and that you should reward your servants. So this is the timing of the what? The judgment for Christians. Okay? Those who died in the Lord, eh? Because it says, remember, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them, eh? In the air, you know, eh? Okay? So here we are, judgment day, rewards. Glory be to God. This is why I take my job seriously. Even when I know that 3 people are going to show up for the Bible study. Man, eh? I'm thinking about this day. This day. God says, I told you to do a Bible study, but you didn't do it. Kwanga abantu tebagenda kujja. But God said, but there are some who I was going to send, and you didn't do your job. Now you have this what? Little reward. This is the day, remember? Eh? You see? But, you know, it has happened at the 7th trumpet. Okay? Okay? The 7th trumpet, eh? You see? They have been raised, and now they are going to be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. Okay? Some, eh? You know, and the saints, eh? Even you are not what? Okay? Prophets. And those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Okay? So as people are being rewarded in heaven, okay? Okay? There's going to be, some people are going to be destroyed down here on earth. And God doesn't want the church to be a part of that. That is why Revelations, 11, verse, what we read, okay, it starts by saying, verse 17, the 24 elders were saying, we give you thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. Okay? Okay? Now, that is why we need to be raptured, eh? To escape the wrath of God, which is coming. Eh? The Bible says God is going to destroy those who destroy the earth, you know, his enemies. But at that time, we're in heaven. Okay? And rewards. We're going to be judged. Eh? That we should be rewarded. Glory be to God. If there's anything that most, in fact, now I feel like talking about rewards. All these end time things, eh? You know, eh? You could say I was what? Struggling a bit to explain them. Do I know them? Eh? But when it comes to rewards, man, glory be to God. Okay? Rewards. Eh? This is what? 7th trumpet at the end when we're gotten out, the wrath of God is coming. Okay? Okay? Destruction on earth. Eh? Okay? And some people are in heaven receiving rewards. Some are receiving a lot, some are receiving little. Based on what? How faithful they were unto the Lord. Glory be to God. I don't know whether there's any greater motivation for for doing anything on this earth, as in like an eternal motivation. But real, you know, okay? This is why I do. Sometimes I do things I don't want to do. I say things I don't want to say. Not like the past 3 weeks, Sunday church, preaching a message which right now in our generation, you shouldn't be hard saying those things, that some Christians might not go to heaven. Because the grace of God, you understand, you know, once saved, I mean, you see. But after what? I mean, God has told me, preach it, and I've showed it to you in the word. Then you what? You opt out. You say you fear. You've just messed up yourself, as far as the reward day, the judgment day is concerned. Glory be to God. But anyway, it's happening at the what? Seventh trumpet. Paul said, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, at the last trumpet. That means that actually Paul had been showed what? Even the first trumpet, the second, though he didn't write about them. Don't you think so? Maybe he wasn't. But anyway, somehow John was also showed, and for him he wrote all of them. You ask yourself, Paul, why didn't you write all the trumpets? Maybe God was like, you write, just write the last one. I'll tell some other guy to write what? The others. But he says, at the last trumpet, that's when we shall be changed. We shall be given glorified bodies, caught up, you know, in the air. And then he said, to be with the Lord forever. And this is exactly what John saw. We go, we are rewarded, but at a certain point, we shall come back to reign on the earth. After people have been destroyed by the Lord, his enemies. Glory be to God. Amen? Which brings me to something else, which I thought I'll talk about in the third week. Remember, Revelation has the seven seals. You know them? Okay, you have heard about them. The seven seals. Then it has the seven trumpets. Okay? And then the seven vials or bowls. Okay? You have read them. Now, the seven seals and the seven trumpets, they are all talking about the same period of time. Okay? But in different ways. Remember, when we interpret dreams, there have been these dreams we have seen where scene one, okay, is the same as scene two, but in other words. You remember that? Okay. Now, the seven seals and the seven trumpets are what? The equivalent of scene one and scene two, but talking about the same thing. Because when you actually, when you look at them, when you follow them, okay, the seventh seal will end at the rapture. Okay? Then when you read the seven trumpets, the seventh trumpet will end at the rapture. What does that mean? That they're all talking about what? The same thing, but in other what? In other words. In fact, I realize that the trumpets actually, adding things which even the seals didn't say. As in more trouble that is coming. In the great what? Tribulation. For it, it even adds in. But it's talking about the same time period of the great tribulation. Okay? Now, it is only the vials or the bowls which are not what? Talking about the same thing. For it, actually, when you read well, when you read well, for it now, it is talking about after we are out, after the rapture. Okay? Hey, you guys, I think we're going to just have one or two Bible studies. Eh? Okay? Revelation 15, I think we read that chapter. Did we? Revelation 15? Okay, but promise me that this week you're going to go and look at seal 1, seal 2, seal 3. You understand? Don't read to find out what they mean. There you just get what? Mess up. But you just read what happens when you know, and then see what happens on seal 7. You realize there's something that you will see. It's rapture. Okay? Then trumpets. Well, can we do it here? Or you're tired? Bridget, are you tired? We do it, real quick. Okay. All right. Rachel, where do the seals start from? By the way, the way I know they are older, seal is S, trumpets is T, okay? Then vials is V, okay? Stephen, Stephen, you anyway. Okay, I think they start from 4, or 5, chapter 5. 6, Good. Okay, 6. Chapter 6. Okay? Verse 2. Okay, verse 6, 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. Say, then I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. That is the first seal. Okay? Okay, a white horse. And there was trouble, war. Okay, there was a horse. The rider went out to conquer and to conquer. All right? That is seal 1. Then verse 3. He opened the second seal. Okay? Then what happened? You see it in verse 4. Trouble. A fiery red horse went out and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Alright? Trouble. The third seal, verse 5. He says, I saw a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his eye. Basically, things were expensive. A little, a kilogram of sugar, wheat, was a billion shillings. Okay? You understand? Trouble, eh? Then, fourth seal, verse 7. Okay? Death and heads. Okay? 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 People were killed with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Okay? There's nothing good there. Fifth seal. In the fifth seal, it says that, then I saw under the altar, the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God. Okay? And for the testimony which they held. So these are the guys who had died in the tribulation, who had been killed. Maybe they refused to take the mark of the beast. So they were killed and now they are wondering, okay? How long, oh Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Okay, then the sixth seal. The sixth seal says there was a great earthquake and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair and the moon became what? Became like blood. Alright? And the stars of heaven fell to the earth. As, now, you open Matthew 24. Okay? Verse 29. Remember what Jesus said? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, what will happen? The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall. Now, six seal, this is what it is saying. Okay? The sun became black. The moon became like blood. The stars of heaven fell. Okay? Verse 14. Then the sky receded. Okay? as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men and the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountain, and say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, okay, and hide us from the face of him. Eh? Remember? This is what Jesus said, eh? The Son of Man will appear, and then he said that the nation of the earth will mourn. Eh? Remember? This is exactly it. No, but then you're going to realize that Revelation is not hard. You know, it's not hard. I can see Rachel is like, thank God we stayed longer. I'm telling you, Jesus said exactly, but now John is saying it in other words. Remember? Jesus said they're going to mourn when they see man. And this is saying the way they're going to mourn, fall on us and hide us from the face of him. Okay, who does what? Who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Okay, because now the wrath is coming. You understand? For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Okay? And Jesus said when he appears, the sign of the Son of Man appears, the angels will go forth and gather his elect. You understand? Though now John here hasn't really said it. Okay? But we know from Jesus' words that it's going to happen at the same time. You see the point, eh? Okay, but that is now the sixth what? The sixth with seal. Glory be to God. Aha, where is the seventh seal? The seventh is chapter 8, eh? Okay, thank you. Chapter 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about an hour. Okay, then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven what? Trumpets. So, half an hour. Remember? According to Jesus, the sixth seal, when he appears, we are caught up. Eh? Okay? So some people think that this half an hour is like the marriage taking place in heaven. Okay? The Lord and the bride. Half an hour. Eh? That's what some people think, that silence in heaven. Okay? Anyway, that one, I don't know. Eh? Okay? But at least from Jesus' words, we are not here by that time. Eh? Alright? Now, chapter 8, verse 2. Eh? Okay? Now we are seeing the seventh what? The seventh? The trumpet. Now I'm going to show you that they are also going to enter the rapture. Oh, we saw that already. Didn't we see that? The seventh trumpet. Okay? We read it, I think, in 11. Okay? Chapter 11. Verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded. Okay? And there were voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who is and who are, you know? Okay? Okay? And the time for the dead to be judged. We're in heaven. Just what I mean. Eh? Now, when you read the vials, the seven, okay, they don't enter the rapture. Okay? In fact, that's why where I think after the sixth seal, remember? It talked about the wrath of the Lamb. Do you understand? Eh? Okay? And at the end of the seventh seal, it talks about the wrath of God coming. Alright? To destroy those who to destroy the earth. Meanwhile, the saints are being rewarded in heaven. You see, eh? Now when you read the seven, the bowls, the vials, in fact, it says categorically in Revelation that they are full of the wrath of God. But you're not here. Okay? So anyway, the principle I was trying to highlight is that thing of, you get a dream, eh? It's one dream, but when you look at it well, you know, the first bit is talking about the second bit, but in other words, this is exactly what it is with the seals and the trumpets. Okay? However, I realize that the trumpets actually add more what? Hey, more fear, if I should say. Which they still didn't highlight. Say actually, Chino Nashi Dia. The first one I'm seals, you know? And that's how some dreams are. Scene one complements scene two. Or scene two complements scene one. We have interpreted the dreams in reality, and we always see that. This is exactly what it is. Okay. In fact, when I realized it some time ago, I realized now I have a scripture basis to explain those things of dreams, that's scene one and scene two, meaning the same thing. I realized, wait a minute, it's in the Bible. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.